This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning. This episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be episode 297 of Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them. This episode, as always, is supported by InDigital, a leader in next-gen core services, and we're recording live from the 2019 IPSTA conference in Springfield, Illinois. And I usually have a story going into these, but I'm just going to jump right into it. You know, we're here, we're recording live, and we're out in the vendor hall, and this is Sunday, and it's November 3rd. They've got the opening reception, so we've got all the attendees who come in, and they go around with the industry partners and such, see everything that's going on. There's finger foods, there's drinks, all kinds of things for people to check out, and I am here with my guest. And her name is Chantel, and she is a dispatcher with Lake County Sheriff's Office. How's it going?
It's going really well. Thank you so much for being here. Your setup is just awesome. I love that that banner. I am 911.
Thank you very much. And a shout out, actually, to Evans Care. They're the ones who set this up for me. I designed everything on it, but they sponsored the banners. My friend Tanya Lee, who works for the company. She had come up one of the conferences, I believe it was North Carolina, and I was there and I was the keynote speaker and I had a session. I was doing the podcast there and I'm sitting in my booth and she goes, "You look so lonely over here." And I said, "What?" And she goes, "You know, you don't have a banner or anything." And I said, "Yeah, I haven't really put one together or anything or had the chance." And she goes, "Well, we would love to sponsor that." I said, "Well, let's do something." So awesome. I designed it up. And they got it sponsored and everything, and it's That's been beautiful. Going good. It's been a great addition to the podcast and the rest of the setup. So thank you very much for that.
My pleasure.
Now, this is your first time here.
22 years as a dispatcher, and yes, sir, this is my first time here. And actually, I started with a leadership seminar earlier today.
Yeah.
It was an excellent one. And so I was just actually just stepping in here for a moment because we had the welcome being a first time, you know, with the board.
That's right. They had the whole reception.
So my whole thing was I was just going to step down here really quick and plan on visiting all the vendors tomorrow. But yours just truly stands out right at the front.
And thank you.
And then again, that the voices within the trenches, that's definitely who we are. And then you have on there, have you shared your story? We have tons of stories.
yeah, of course. Well, this is awesome that you know that you're here. You know, it took a little while, but you're here, and there's a lot to learn. There's all types of different things that that you'll get out of this. All the different classes. I've been here. I think this is my third or fourth year now.
Wow.
And every time, you know, for a while, I had missed this conference, and a couple of friends of mine that have worked in the committee have said, "You've got to come to the Illinois conference. It's a great conference." And I've been coming ever since because it is that good. So those who are listening,
that's right.
This is a good conference.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you'll get a lot of the classes and then, the industry partners that are here showing off their technology and everything for 911, but you've also got the networking.
Exactly.
And sometimes the networking alone is just worth sending 911 dispatchers here for, because they can learn a lot from each other.
That's right.
You know, you were just speaking a little bit ago to, I believe her name was Patricia.
Yes.
And she's the dispatcher
Chicago
of the year. And
and
the both of you were talking there, and I was telling her coworker, I said, this is one of the most amazing things, because in back of you right now, you've got two people from different agencies who are talking and learning from each other and this experience, and that's what it's all about.
It is, you know, and it just amazes me too at just listening to, she's the, you know, the Chicago 911, you know, police dispatcher of the year. And, you know, some of the things, and she's been on the job 25 years, and just some of the things that, you know, she said, I mean, it just totally resonated, because we care so much about the community and We want to save lives, but we always have that police officer responding to the call. We want them to come home to their families.
Of course.
And then it was just so amazing that we both have sons that are police officers.
Oh, man, really?
Isn't that something? Yeah.
That is.
And I was
small
just,
world.
Small world. Small world, but big world at the same time. Because Chicago is huge.
Right.
And I was just sharing with her how it's like, it's amazing how, you know, we're this behind the scenes person, but we're really the hub of everything. We page the on-call judge. We page the on-call coroner. There's nothing that happens in our city that the dispatcher on duty don't know about.
Right, exactly.
And that's amazing.
When I first started out dispatching, we actually had to do bike registrations as well.
What?
Yeah, because there was like parks and lakes and stuff, and they would have to have a permit to go out there. So people would come in, and we would even have to do that. We'd have to fill out those permits, and we're like, all right, there you go.
Right. Well, being blessed to be a dispatcher for Lake County Sheriff, that, we almost have almost 750,000 people. And what we also do is we are the voice for the Rangers. So if someone calls and it's a gate that needs to be opened, or things like that, we have to just keep a straight voice. I mean, we could have total chaos in the room and someone, hi, I want to walk my dog in the park and we need the gate open now. It's like we have to just remain so professional. Just like, Patricia was saying, a lot of times family members will call and she knows that the person is dead, but how we have to keep that straight voice, ma'am, well, the officer will give you a call and thus and such. It's our life. And it's
right.
Okay. It's,
and,
it's
and,
not
and
easy.
Sometimes, so it's interesting that you say that, because I had posted an IM911 story that somebody had sent in. Now, all of these stories are anonymous.
Yes.
And when the story came in, part of the story is that a family member had passed away.
Yes.
And the dispatcher was feeling like guilty because they had to lie to the person that they called, the family member. Well, someone had commented saying, why did you have to lie? And someone else responded, like I was getting ready to respond to it myself.
Yes.
But somebody else jumped in and said, well, we don't ever want to create more victims or anything like that. We don't want anybody to get hurt. If that person had told that family member, hey, your family member just died in whatever way, you need to get to wherever they're going, they're going to be panicked.
Exactly.
And they're going to be hauling over there. And what if they end up crashing and getting hurt as well?
Exactly.
But, if you end up saying, you just need to get over there, call the officer or whatever. Yeah, they might be a little, nervous, but not as in a panic as they would if they knew exactly what was going on at the time.
Exactly. And the thing, too, that stands out with that, it's kind of cool how it's like, tell us your stories. I actually have two of them just recalling that. One of the reasons we have the protocol, we do have to lie. Is there, hi, this is thus and such from whatever media outlet. Is there anything going on? No, nothing's going on. We could have three different scenes that, we cannot tell them. Our designated media relations person has to talk to them. As a young dispatcher, when I first started on Midnight, hi, Taylor, what's going on? What's going on? We got some deputies responding out to the cemetery because we've had a lot of people vandalizing certain things. And I don't know if I had given the deputy's name or what had happened, but I just know it ended up being that deputy had started getting harassed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because it's like, okay, yeah, well, I could tell you the deputy that responded to that, and can't do any of that because
right.
It's all public record. When we have people that call and want the phone number of someone, we got to be careful not to put it in the call. All that stuff is public information. So
right.
It's like we have to learn so much stuff off the cuff. It's like I'll never forget being a brand new dispatcher. I was training, newly married, pregnant. And this guy says, I'm about to crash into this barrier. He had called 911. He was like, but I won't crash into this barrier if I could get an on-call priest, if I could, talk to an on-call priest. So my supervisor, my assistant supervisor, they were steadily, while I'm on the phone talking to this guy, we're going through all the on-call charts and everything, and we called this this parish, we called that parish, we called like five different parishes trying to find an on-call priest to help this guy not crash into a barrier, you know, and so I'm talking to him and I'm like, you know, trying to stick with protocol as much as I can.
Right.
I'm also a minister. And I'm like, listen, you know, Mike, or I don't know what his name was.
Yeah.
I'm like, Mike, I'll be honest with you. There's no on-call priest available at this time, but I am a minister. I am a minister. I am a minister. And I know that if you pulled your car over and we can, you know, we'll send someone to help you and God can meet you right there in the car and you could just talk to him right now. He'll hear you, you know, and it was... I was like nervous because it's I'm brand new.
Right.
I need this job,
right,
you know,
yeah.
And it's like, but no priest was on call. But so I had to put on my minister's hat
while
I'm in the middle of still being a dispatcher. And I just, you know, so many times I feel the emotion of the call still 22 years in, you know, it's like you just feel the emotion of the hurt and the pain or
whatever
the situation is. Long story short, Mike did pull his car over and we were able to get him help. And so that was real good.
That is amazing.
It
it's
amazing.
So I've noticed out of all the times, the episodes that I've recorded and people that I've spoken to, there has been a call that they, and I say this all the time, lately all the time I've been saying this, there has been a call or a situation that the dispatcher has gone through that has helped them, that has assisted in a call that is coming in. So for you taking this call, you were new,
exactly,
but you're a minister as well.
I was on probation.
You're on probation, but you were a minister as well, so you were able, you had that experience, so you had something to you were able to do that.
Exactly.
So that,
it was, I mean, I still just think about that now and I just, you know, I'm thankful.
Wow.
I'm thankful it turned out.
So let's go back in time a little bit.
Yeah.
You got 22 years.
Yes, sir.
So how did you get started in dispatching to begin with? You know, did you have family that was in law enforcement or did you just fall in? Like a lot of people, there's more people that just kind of fell into it than... Mm-hmm. Than come from a public safety background.
Exactly. Excellent question. I was actually in college, I have my college degree in business management and communications. Mm-hmm. Side note, criminal justice, because I, you know, was like, okay, well, I'll get that business degree, but if, you know, I could also possibly become a lawyer, I had that goal to want to be a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was actually going to school with a few individuals from the Lake County State's Attorney's Office. And I actually was a legal secretary and got a chance to just like Law and Order, you know, I mean, from the FBI to all the police officers throughout Lake County would have to come, of course, to the State's Attorney's Office mm-hmm. to, you know, get whatever. And so to make a long story short, I saw on the job posting board, I'm legal secretary now for a good year, and I had no lie, I was assigned to the domestic violence courtroom.
Oh man.
And it was stacks, you see, I mean, it was like stacks larger than this table of files. It was the misdemeanor courtroom and the domestic violence courtroom. And it was just like a lot of work for a legal secretary. Only making $13 an hour way mm-hmm. back then, back in whatever, whenever that was.
Yeah.
So when I saw that the Lake County Sheriff was high-end dispatchers and the pay was almost a $10 an hour difference, I couldn't believe it. I applied for it. I went for the interview and I got hired on the same day. They asked me, how soon can you start? I told them I could start today. And so, yeah, it was really cool. I just happened into it, you know, and
the planets aligned. Everything just seemed to, it just seemed to work out, and bam, you're right there.
They called me that, Sam, like, how soon can you, you know, how soon can you start? I was like, well, I'll give my proper 2 weeks notice, but
yeah,
I'll be ready, you know.
So then what was that like for you then in the beginning? Because you go from these stacks of files and everything that you're going through, but kind of, you know, giving you a little bit of experience to the fact that, you know, you're going to end up taking domestic calls.
Exactly.
And you've been going through all these stacks, you know, you're reading through everything. So you're learning from that as well.
Seeing the pictures, you know, and seeing the scenes that includes the blood and just, you know, What really stood out for that to me, being on the again business, you know, business part,
yeah,
and being one of those people that really don't understand law enforcement, because I was like in those classes too, saying, well, if an officer has to, you know, respond and, you know, pull his gun, why can't he just shoot the person in the leg? You know, a lot of times that's not how
right.
it goes.
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, it does not happen like that.
It does not happen like that. And this was before all the stuff that's been going on in the past 10 years where, you know, things have really gotten confused when it comes to all the different shootings.
Right, exactly.
You know, but it's, you have a whole different view of things, and I love your title, Within the Trenches, the True Stories from 911 Dispatchers, because people just really don't understand. It's like, yes, we care about humanity, we care about, you know, the families and safety, but we very well want those responding officers, those responding EMTs, even the firefighters, mm-hmm. you know. We want everybody else to be safe as well. And so sometimes exactly. Why are you asking all these questions? Is it because I want your family safe, but this is my family. You know, we are
perfect.
The thin gold line. That's who the dispatcher is. We are between the blue line and the red line, the police and the fire. We're that thin gold line. Mm-hmm. That means something.
The ones
we're that
keep
intertwining.
It all together. Right.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes. And we take it to heart. You know, the good ones take it to heart.
Right.
You know, and if something my father told me, that is a retired firefighter captain from Milwaukee, he told me when I started the job, because I would tell him what it was like, you know, just kind of, sometimes you can feel bullied, you know, being the only one of your kind,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you might feel like you don't fit in. And things you do might get picked on. You might get picked on or whatever.
Right.
But something my father told me, and he'd make me laugh so much. He would tell me, baby, if you are in that job more than a year, you're going to have shark's teeth and cold blood. I have shark's teeth and cold blood.
Nice.
I look nice, but I have shark's teeth and cold blood.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It would just make me
that's
laugh.
That's funny. Yeah.
But it's true, though.
It is.
Because they would, I mean, you can get picked on. You can get lied on, talked mm-hmm. about, you know, labeled. But you have to remain focused on why you're there.
Right.
And I stayed focused because, number one, I never imagined I was going to be doing this for 22 years.
Yeah.
You know, this was just something that was going to get me through law school, and I was going to become one of them fancy law and order types. So, you know.
A lot of people have said, you know, they come into it and, you know, they're coming into the position, but there's a higher goal,
yes.
you know, but then they get into it and
exactly.
then that becomes their goal. Like, you
yes.
know, they stay because it's something that they love. So then when you started out, you know, you'd given your 2 weeks and everything, did you do a sit along at all to kind of see what it was like, or did you just go into the lion's den and like that, you're starting your training. And then what was that even like? What was your training like for you?
Yes, I took that. It was almost like a $10 increase
mm-hmm.
from a legal secretary. Listen how legal secretary sounds more professional, don't it, than a 911.
In a way, and that's how people have seen it and treated it. But
exactly.
it's a new day.
Exactly.
And it's different now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was blessed to be trained by someone that was on the job for over 20 years already. Mm-hmm. Debbie was her name, and she's long retired. But I was blessed to be trained by the best. She knew her stuff inside and out, and she was really gruff. I'll never forget the winter time watching her lift up a car. Somebody's car got stuck, you know, in the parking lot, and she was just a strong lady.
Oh, wow.
She lifted the truck.
Well, you see,
the car up.
So that's good then, because a lot of people have said that as well, that, you know, they've had really good trainers, and
yes.
and it's really pushed them to either, you know, become a trainer themselves or you know, just continue dispatching and helping the ones who are coming in that are new and teaching them the way they were taught, you know, and going from there. So that's a good thing, you know, that you got a trainer like that, because sometimes some of the trainers, you know, they I don't know if they say it in your center, but in my center, they would say it a lot. It was, you know, sometimes we eat our young.
Exactly. And it's true.
But, you know, sometimes it's like, we're doing this to see if you can handle it so that you can make it. But that not everybody works like that.
Exactly.
And it's completely changed now.
Yes.
But, you know, sometimes it's like that. So then you've gone through your training and all. And then do you remember your first call?
Yes. One of my first calls, a lot of times in our center, because one of the things that we're blessed to do, we are connected. We have the Lake County Forest Preserve. We have the Lake County Marine Unit. And again, we page the on-call judge, you know, on-call coroner. But when it comes to, like, say, if a person is having a baby, I actually will transfer and say, hold on, I'm going to get you to the fire department. And so, you know, they would, you know, actually do that.
Yeah.
But a lot of times just hearing a young boy say, my dad just shot himself. What am I going to do now?
Right.
Just hearing that, you know, just.
And that's the kind of stuff that sticks with you as well. You know, it's that voice, you know, sometimes out of nowhere, you'll end up kind of hearing it or something will trigger it.
And then, you know, you just try to put it all together. It's like, wait, what did you just say?
Right.
You know, and a lot of times, you know, you'll get the domestic violence calls and you try to, you know, talk to the lady that really is, if she's whispering, she's either crying or really not even wanting to stay on the phone with us, mm-hmm. you know, but if I could just kind of get it in there, ma'am, if you don't want this to happen again, or I can hear a little girl crying in the background or a small kid, it's like, please, the officer's going to come and help you. Please receive the help. You
know, right. I mean, yeah, exactly.
You have to keep the tape clean and be careful what you say. You know,
yes.
I mean, you got to stay again within your guidelines, you know, within our guidelines. But it's hard. Those first calls, that's the whole thing also about being in the trenches. Nothing is off limits, you know.
Right, exactly.
Nothing is easy.
And a lot of the calls, you know, that you end up coming into will be similar incidents, but it's always
never the
incident
same.
Type is exactly. similar. But yeah, it's never the same. The story is always different.
Always different. It's like you have to be a master multitasker. Mm-hmm. It's like I think about, you know, like how in a circus you have the person that can juggle. You have to be able to really multitask.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, it's
now,
like.
Now, was that overwhelming for you when you come in and you see, you know, whatever it is that you're looking at? You know, you've got multiple screens maybe, or you see someone who's answering the phone, answering the radios, maybe eating at the same time,
exactly.
and doing all of this. And how am I going to do this?
Exactly. You know, I probably thought it was more cool than overwhelming and wanting to do it. And like I say, because it's like, number one, you don't want to be labeled as someone that can't do the job.
Right.
You know, so you always trying to be the best at your game, you know.
Exactly.
And I've always been an individual that did a lot of volunteering outside of, you know, being a dispatcher. I mean, I've been a huge, you know, I was the president of my Rotary Club. You know, I ran for city council twice. I won the second time and ran for mayor. And, you know, I mean, so it's like, I have a true love for community and, you know, as a volunteer, that's a huge part of community as well, you know, serving your community. But then going back to being in this room where no one sees you and, you know, when someone does come to our door, it's like, why are you coming to our door? This is the 911 center. You know, we talk to you on the phone, you know, come in person, you know, where our center is. But, you know, one of the cool things, not only being trained by someone with so much experience, but early on in my career, I had the opportunity to be a trainer. So it's just kind of cool to even, you know, 22 years in. But, you know, it's a great thing to kind of look at some supervisors and knowing that you had a hand in helping, you know.
Yeah, I taught them that.
Yeah, you know, you know, it's like, hey, you know, I just, you know.
It is. It's a cool moment. You know, it's almost like you've got another child in a sense, you know, because you're kind of molding them and stuff. And
exactly.
Yeah, it is like, you know, I wasn't an official CTO. I wasn't an official trainer. But there was a time where we were so short staffed. Mm-hmm. Everybody was a trainer.
Yes.
And we got each person, excuse me, and we got to go through it. And I enjoyed it. You know, it was a lot of fun.
Yes.
I ended up becoming a supervisor as well, but I was on the line. So I was on the line with my team and we did it.
Yeah.
And we went to town on whatever would come in.
Right.
Now, how about a call that has, you know, maybe stuck with you?
I'll never forget. It was a call, because that's a cool thing about serving Lake County as mm-hmm. well. We have the very rich and we have the very poor.
Mm-hmm.
This is again going back to when I worked midnights. I worked days, day shift. Now I'm considered old. you don't work days unless you're
old. We call them seasoned.
Yeah, there we go. Seasoned. But midnight shift, I believe he was a professor in one of the rich towns of Lincolnshire.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that was the town. Make a long story short, something about a gun, something about a barricaded subject. And back then we had to page out our SWAT team. And I remember paging the SWAT, you know, I had to page out the SWAT team. And the guy called in and was like, quit shining that light on my house. And I'm like, sir, you know, just trying to say, sir, we just want to talk to you or whatever
right.
the situation was. But he immediately hung up with me. But to make a long story short, he ended up being taken out. Yeah, because of community safety. I mean, and when we have to call the SWAT team, somebody is in trouble.
Right. Yeah. No, for
We're
sure.
We're not playing, you know.
And, yeah, exactly.
I still remember the feeling of just, you know.
I am right there with you in the sense of kind of similar where I was on, I didn't take the phone call, but I was on main radios.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a domestic situation that was going on. And as I'm on main radios, you know, they're saying that they're inside. The husband has a gun and he's holding the wife hostage and stuff. The SWAT team comes out and I will never forget. And it's a buddy of mine, a good buddy of mine, because he was on the SWAT team. And I'll never forget hearing him on the radio say, I've got him in my sights.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, man, he has got. OK. And he was far away.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, so. They ended up getting through it without, you know, any, if I remember correctly, any shots fired or anything like that.
Good.
But
that's always good.
I just remember sitting there on main radios thinking I'm going to hear something here pretty soon, like something's going to go down.
Yeah.
And they ended up taking him down and in the sense that they arrested him.
Exactly.
And there was no shots or anything. But
yeah.
Just like you, I mean, that's one of the things I'll never forget is hearing them say that, thinking, geez, this is so real right now.
It is.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the cool thing also going back to my state's attorney days, some of them that are in the state's attorney's office, the investigators, some of them are trained to respond to incidents.
Oh, man.
I mean, you know, I love being... apart. We're not the military, but we're definitely paramilitary. Oh, and we're in place, you know, and that's what I like about being a part of an organization that don't start none and it won't be none. But if you start some, you better be ready.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, in your 22 years.
Yes.
How has the technology changed?
Oh, the technology has changed tremendously. And hopefully we will be going to a new system now that will help us be even more quicker and faster.
Yeah.
But the technology has us now able to zoom into certain intersections and we can actually zoom in and see an officer when he does the stop. And we'll have to tell him, you know, a certain code, you know, that kind of means step away from the person. Yeah, that person is suspended. Yeah, that person is wanted for whatever he's wanted
for,
you know. And it's just so cool because sometimes you see the deputy just raise his hands up or it's just, we're just looking at the body language and we just laugh, you know, because cameras.
Right.
You know, you see it. You know, it's like this stuff is happening in real time. We'll be like, watch this. Sometimes we'll do a status check and they won't answer us and say, now we watching you sit in your car.
Right.
And you're not answering us. But you're going to make a big deal out of it if we say another status check. You know, it's funny. We just, you have to remain professional through all this emotional roller coaster type stuff.
Right, exactly.
Know? But we can do it, you know, and like I said, I care about every responding officer because kudos to them. They don't know what tomorrow holds.
Right.
They don't know what that call holds. And we want to make sure we empower them, you know, giving them the very best information that we can.
Exactly. You know? Oh, man.
Yeah.
Makes me miss it. I do miss it.
Oh. Well, it's in the trenches.
As we go into the wrap up of this episode, this has been a lot of fun. What I want to know as we're going into the wrap up is, and being a first timer here at the conference as well, what is one of the things that you're really looking forward to either learning or experiencing and bringing it back to the agency?
I always like to learn better ways to show appreciation for the coworkers, because in my 22 years, another special story real quick, it has been an officer that passed away that I knew. Actually, my body number is one digit different from his. And it's like, we kind of like start at the same time.
Wow.
And he had gotten into like a car accident before the car accident that killed him. And I'll never forget being in the parking lot and giving him a hug and saying, you know, I just want you to know that I love you and Jesus loves you too. And he was like, Chantel, don't hug me. You know, that's going to start rumors. And I just told him that I didn't care about that.
Yeah.
And it was like less than 2 months later, he crashed into a tree. And I just would like to bring back from this conference any way that we can continue to build the best relationship between coworkers, because life is very unpredictable, and we want the best working relationships between the police dispatcher and the responding officer, because I don't think that they understand how much we care about them.
Right.
You know, and we care about, again, we care about the public as well very much, but they don't understand that we take stuff home too. But the most important thing is that we're in it together. Again, that thin gold line, that's that shining gold part that just, we want everybody to shine and we want everybody to be well. And so something that I'm looking forward to bringing back to the agency, shout out to my director, Kent McKenzie, that's not here today, but he is a new director that is empowering from the newest dispatcher to the most seasoned, to be a part of training and to network and to do things to make it better. And it, you know, it makes things better. And that's the whole thing, because think about it. If we're blessed to live 100 years, that's just a short amount of time.
You know?
So why not make it the best? However long you have, it's not about a title, but it's about that working relationship and the positivity that you can bring out of such a, you know,
a situation.
A harrowing job.
Right, yeah.
Because it's harrowing. Like I said, you know, the Chicago Dispatcher of the Year, she was like, how we have to lie, you know. We know the family member is dead, but we can't say. Or when that news media calls, is it anything? No, nothing's going on. And we know everything is going on.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So.
Awesome.
It's a cool job.
Thank you again so much for being on this episode. This has been a lot of fun.
Yes.
And for those who are listening, if you have any comments, questions, you want to be a guest on the show, you can email us. And that's going to be WTTpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. That is @911podcast. You can like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/WithinTheTrenchesPodcast. This episode, as always, is supported by InDigital, the leader in next-gen court services. And this episode, along with all the others, can be heard 24/7 on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, your favorite podcasting app, and WithinTheTrenches.net. Have a good one, everybody.
You just listened to a Code 7 Network podcast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to WTTpodcast@gmail.com.